We're on with Don Lloyd this morning. He's in charge of the capital markets and the foreign exchange at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back.
Steve, thank you for having me on your show. It's good to be back.
I want to focus in today on sort of the global picture. I know you see a lot of it. You kind of have most of it at your fingertips there. We've seen in the U.S. Shortage of materials and labor is impacting things, manufacturing specifically. I know that's a problem around the world. We've had another ransomware attack on a meat packer. There's some signals that perhaps there's labor market weakness in the U.S. I know China's in the news as well. I want to hit a couple of these things. If you had to pick one of those things, what's the most concerning to investors right now?
On the global front, I think the thing that's going to dominate the headlines for the next little bit is going to be the reserves, foreign reserves specifically in China, because they are so massive and continue to increase so much. And now you've got the Chinese yuan, which is appreciating at a considerable pace over the last 3 months, but certainly over the last year. So I think that's going to sort of move to the front of dominating, being one of the main drivers, one of the big dominant factors in the foreign exchange markets for the next several months. Simply because, as you have mentioned, there's a lot of uncertainty out there in the market when it comes to labor force and bottlenecks. And quite honestly, I think the markets are tired and they want to take a rest and a great pause just to normalize wherever that's going to be. So in situations like this, they usually pick on, you know, a big topic, a big item, and it looks like to me that topic is going to be the vast amount of reserves, foreign currency reserves, that China holds.
You know, China forcing its banks to hold more foreign currencies in reserve. It's the first time we've seen that really in about a decade or so. Talk to us a little bit more about the substantial nature of that move.
Sure. So when somebody says reserves, there's a lot of different definitions of reserves that float around out there. Most people in the financial industry think of reserves as those excess reserves that a bank posts to the Federal Reserve based on its loan portfolio. These are not the reserves we're talking about. We're talking about foreign currency reserves that financial institutions hold. Completely different animal. So we have to be careful in what we talk about when we say reserves. Foreign currency reserves come about primarily on international trade. So let's just take a look at China and the U.S. The U.S. imports a lot of goods from China. We buy a lot of bicycles from China. And a lot of the purchases are made in U.S. dollars. So you have U.S. dollars being sent to China to buy these goods and services. So financial institutions in China receive these U.S. dollars, convert them to local currency, give them to the suppliers in local currencies, but they hold on to these U.S. dollar reserves. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the foreign currency reserves that financial institutions in China specifically and the central bank in China specifically will hold. Sometimes they hold U.S. dollars, sometimes they hold pounds, sometimes they hold euros, or a combination of all these currencies. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's natural, it's healthy, it's normal. It's actually a good hedge, if you will. So if you're the central bank or if you're a financial institution and your economy is starting to fail and falter and the yuan is beginning to depreciate, to weaken in value, to move from 6.3 to 7.3. The foreign currency you have on reserve is actually a hedge towards that happening. Because as the yuan weakens, the foreign currency you hold actually strengthens. It appreciates. So it's sort of a natural hedge. The problem is this. China is the largest holder of foreign reserves in the world. They hold more than 20 times the foreign reserves that the U.S. holds. 20 times. That's a huge number. And just think of the decades of all the goods that have been purchased from around the world, specifically the U.S., into China, and all the U.S. dollars that have flowed into China. And those U.S. dollars are being held into China. And of course, China turns around and they buy our treasury notes and our treasury bonds and our treasury bills with those dollars that they hold. Now, all of a sudden, because of COVID and because the economies of the world are starting to come out of this, you know, COVID recession, if you will, the Chinese yuan is strengthening. A year ago, the exchange rate, dollars to yuan, was 7.1. Today, it's 6.3. In less than a year, it's appreciated that much. And this is a controlled or a semi-controlled currency we're talking about. So what happens is that there is a fear that these financial institutions and the central bank will begin to unload their U.S. dollars, sell them, and buy Chinese yuan, or they're going to take their pounds, their excess euros, those foreign reserves, and offload them to buy yuan. And it's going to create a further strengthening of the yuan against the U.S. dollar and other currencies. So what does that mean? It means that the bicycles that we buy from China that used to cost us 100 U.S. dollars or 700 yuan are now costing $125 or $130 for the same bicycle. The goods we import are going to go up in value from our perspective. And if you get 20 times the foreign reserves or any part of that moving out into the market, it's really going to create a big strengthening move for the Chinese yuan, which has already been going on. So that's sort of the backdrop, if you will, to exactly what you were talking about, and that is the central banks have increased the amount of foreign currency percentage or ratios that financial institutions in China need to hold. Now, they didn't increase it by much, but it's the fact that they pulled out the big bat. They haven't hit anybody with it yet, but maybe lightly tapped the market to say, hey, we've got a stick here, we've got a lever, and we sat there and increased by 2% the amount of foreign currency you have to withhold. You can't exchange that. You're going to have to increase your holdings of foreign currency reserves. And you know what? 2% today could be 10% next year. But they've got that bat out, and that's got everybody's attention right now. And why are they doing it? What are they concerned about? Are they getting ahead of something that might start a pretty big global impact if that Chinese yuan strengthens from 6.3 to 5.8 to 5.5? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay tuned. So, watch this space, and we'll keep an eye on that as we move forward. Don, talk to us a little bit about oil. We saw oil prices hit their highest since October of 2018. What should global investors know about what's happening in the oil markets?
Yep, commodities. You got to love commodities. And you're absolutely right. Again, as the world and the globe emerge from the pandemic recession, you know, all these economies are heating up. You know, you've mentioned the labor supply shortage, the bottlenecks of goods and services. You know, all of these are creating a demand for our commodities. Now, you know, whether it's copper, gold, oil, natural gas, all prices are going up when it comes to commodities. Sometimes, for the most part, it is true demand that is driving it, but it's also the psychological factor of, I wonder where these commodity prices will be 6 months from now, a year from now, a year and a half from now. So the forward curve, the pricing curve, is showing steady rise and steady increase in commodity prices. So what does that mean other than more expensive gas at the pumps for us? Increased costs when it comes to those manufacturing companies that are commodity-based or commodity-driven. From the currency standpoint and the investment standpoint, those countries that usually benefit from these types of commodity moves and strengths in commodity prices are those countries that are commodity-based countries. Canada, Australia, South Africa, versus those countries that are commodity import dependent, such as Japan. Okay? When it comes to those countries that benefit, throw China in there, throw Russia in there. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, natural resources and commodities that are being taken off of both those countries as well. But it's usually Canada that you think about. So from an investment standpoint, you have the same investment criteria and return that you do with a U.S. dollar asset, if you want to talk about it. The only thing that's added in there is the currency change, the currency fluctuation. So if you're a U.S. investor and you are holding Canadian bonds, you're going to have some return on that Canadian bond, plus you're going to have some exchange rate gain or loss depending on where you converted your dollars to Canada for the investment. And then when you liquidated your investment or it matured, the exchange of Canada back to U.S. dollars. So there's going to be a gain or a loss associated with currency exposure that's there. And that's how it's sort of impacting the investment community when these commodity prices starting to move around, because they are impacting exchange rates. They are helping out those countries that are commodity-based, and they are hurting those countries like China, or I'm sorry, like Japan, that are not commodity-based.
You're always the go-to guy when we want to talk about hedging, and we've heard a lot of talk recently about the potential of rising interest rates. Talk to us about how we hedge our portfolio against that potential likelihood.
Sure. You know, again, from a currency standpoint, from, you know, what I really get involved in, you know, I sort of just mentioned the risk that you have when it comes to, I'm going to have some return on my foreign investment portfolio, plus or minus some appreciation or loss due to the currency exchange rate. We can hedge that currency exchange rate from an investor standpoint. So the first thing that I would sit there and say, as an investor in foreign assets, is to understand what that currency risk is that you face, that you're going to have a gain or a loss associated with it, and you don't know which way it's going to go. So it could either be a gain or a loss. You have an unknown that's out there, and that's this impact of currency exchange rates. Or you can elect to hedge that and control that risk and mitigate that risk through hedging. So that would be number one, is understand how that impacts your portfolio as an investor. Understand what tools are available to you so that you can make a conscious decision whether to hedge it or not. And it's okay not to hedge it as long as you're aware of the risks around it and you make a strategic decision, as opposed to, I'm going to sit back, my fingers are crossed, I sure hope the currency moves my favor. I'm afraid it won't, but I'm at the mercy of the market. That's not control at all. So take the time to educate, number one. You know, the second thing is it's what basically any interest rate portfolio manager is going to tell you. You know, look for shorter durations. You know, look for those types of investments that are going to benefit from higher yield interest rates, whether it's financial institutions or whatnot. You know, it can be on the equity side. It can be on the fixed income side. You know, but those are more the textbook things that you think about. But the piece that people don't really think about is the currency risk exposure and what they can do to mitigate that. And that's where my group gets involved quite heavily, is in the education of what that risk is in real simple terms and what the tools are that are out there to mitigate that risk.
Great conversation, Don. How can people get a hold of you and have that conversation?
Yep. Happy to do it anytime, or anybody on my team. We're available at 866-524-8836 anytime.
All right, Don. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.